I like Chance the Rapper, Wendy, but I'm not positive him siding with any political candidate will make much difference, sadly. It didn't seem to do that much for Amara Enya. I'm not positive it'll do that much for Tony Preckwinkel. He's immensely talented.
Are you surprised at his endorsement? Because I kind of am.
No, I'm not. I'm not. Thank you, by the way. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. Welcome to the show. For being brave enough. Right now, you're not supposed to say you don't care about the NCAA tournament, but you have taken the lead on this and said, it doesn't do anything for me. Good for you.
You kind of back me up on this.
I'm with you all the way.
You just were scared to say it?
Yep.
Why? Who cares?
Scared. I'm hiding under the desk.
Because
people think that that's somehow un-American.
Oh,
if you don't care about this, and you don't, and I don't, that you're some sort of a communist. How can you not care about the NCAA tournament? But it's not for everybody.
Well, I mean, if you went to a school, maybe, I don't even know.
You show some pride in the school you graduated from? Why wouldn't you?
If they're in it. But a lot of people that go to colleges and universities, their team isn't in the bracket area.
And this mania does not last through the whole season. It's like the Olympics when people really pretend that they care about all the Olympic events. When the ice skating goes on all the time. There's always ice skating somewhere in the world.
That's my favorite.
And people aren't clamoring to see it. But when it's the Olympics, I can't go out Wednesday night. They're showing the ice skating on the Olympics. I got to see it.
Do they televise ice skating when it's not the Olympics?
A little bit.
It's hard to see because I'd watch it every weekend.
Saturday Wide World of Sports type shows. They'll show you some.
The thrill of victory.
Yeah.
The agony of defeat.
Yep. But good for you for not caring.
I think
more of us should not care about things. That's the direction we need to take. Let's stop caring.
I don't care if anyone else does it.
Right. Right.
I mean, to each his own.
Right.
I just have no interest and I'm not going to waste time talking about it.
Now, even I, a man who once had a gambling problem, this does nothing for me at all.
That's the only reason anybody's into it, because they
think you're right.
Winning.
I think you're right.
Even if it's not a lot, you want a pat on the back saying, I picked all the winning teams.
I knew more than you knew.
I do it to bond with my son.
Is that why, Mary?
This is the only weird thing. I mean, you know, like, he's at home now. He's 22. And so he came home from work yesterday. You know, he barely talks. He just wants to sit down and eat right away or whatever. And it's like, I said, Will, I got my brackets done. He's like, oh, yeah, let me see them. You know, I mean, and then,
I love
then
you,
all of a sudden,
Mom. I
we
love
just
you,
start
son.
Talking, and you know, he's
it
got
brings
the
you guys closer
going.
Together.
Yeah, and so we have this friendly competition every year. We did it all through college. When he was in college, we would communicate. You know, and your brackets stink, but whatever. It was great. So we're just continuing with that. I know nothing.
Yep.
You know
Clink.
About basketball. I
all
know
right.
nothing.
Well, less on the brackets coming up.
Right, a lot less.
Not more, but less.
We've got Maurice LaMarche standing by. We'll talk to him, one of the great cartoon voice artists of all time. That's next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Maurice LaMarche is without a doubt one of the most talented voice actors of all time. You may know him from the Animaniacs, from Pinky and the Brain, Disney, Looney Tunes, Dennis the Menace. The list goes on and on and on. He's going to be here in Chicago for the C2E2 convention, and it's a privilege to meet him. How are you, Maurice? Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on, Bill. Hi, Wendy. Good morning.
Hi, Maurice. You know, before we had you on, I was just scrolling through your IMDb page to see what you were on, and I'm still scrolling. Is there ever an end to it?
You know, however long my IMDb page is, Rob Paulson's is longer, and Frank Welker's is the longest.
It is, isn't it? Those are
Frank Welker. I think he's 50 something pages printed out. The last time I tried, if you print out his IMDb with a 14-point font, he's like 50 something pages. I'm in the 30s or something like that, and I'm it's been a long career. I can't when you gave my credits at the beginning, I thought, oh yeah, Dennis the Menace. I mean, you went back a little bit, and I was like, oh my gosh, that was did that with dear Phil Hartman, and when Phil got Saturday Night Live, like we all celebrated, and then he said, Mighty Mo, I'm going to teach all my characters. You're going to take over next season. So I did his two characters on Dennis the Menace going forward. But he was a dear man. But yeah, it's been a long career, and And now the Comic-Cons are like the new vaudeville, you know, what the comedy club circuit was in the 80s and 90s. Now the Comic-Cons are where voiceover actors kind of go to meet fans and shake hands, and you know, we do the autographs, and folks are good enough to give us a little money for that, a little tip in the jar, and it's just really, really nice. We do panels, which are like little two-man and three-man shows. It's fantastic.
One of the voices that people know you best from is from Pinky and the Brain, where I was sure you were doing kind of an homage to Orson Welles. That's got to be the case, right?
What show now?
From Pinky and the Brain.
I'm kidding. He's probably, of all the characters I've gotten to do, Brain is probably the most dear in my heart, you know, in the same, because of his struggle, you know. It does tie into Welles' struggle, you know, his struggle to get the movies made the way he wanted to. And when I first saw that picture of Brain that they drew, the kind of one that's in all the publicity, that's the model sheet, I only saw Orson Welles there. They didn't draw Orson Welles. They drew a writer named Tom Minton, who was working on the show. And I just didn't know Tom, so which is good, because his voice is very monotonous and flat and quick. And he's a brilliant man, and that's why they based Brain on him. But I just saw Orson Welles, and we did the first couple of episodes where I did him completely as Orson, where I was very low and rumbly. And Andrea Romano said, you know, we can't, there's nowhere to go down there. Try and infuse him with some highs, some peaks and valleys. So I thought, well, Vincent Price is a sort of a little bit on a little more emotional side. So I, like, you know, like a chef, I put in two soupçons of Vincent Price to the Orson Welles, and it became Brain. People hear Peter Lorre in there, and I don't hear Peter Lorre at all. But people say, I also hear some Peter Lorre, and I go, all right.
Take us back to when you were a kid, Maurice. You must have been doing voices as a child. Whose voices were you doing when you were young?
When I was young, I loved to do the buzzard from the Bugs Bunny cartoons. Well, go, which way did he go? I loved doing him too, the one based on of Mice and Men.
Yeah.
So I would go, which way did he go, George? Which way did he go? And then go, ba-roop, ba-doop, ba-doop. And that's how I go to school. And this is why my mother wanted me seen in kindergarten. Go, what's wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
Were you able to do the voices of your teachers as a kid? Because that's always a big plus. The kids love when you could do voices of the teachers.
I began to do the teachers in junior high. In fact, I credit Mr. Rob Fraser, my seventh grade math teacher, with getting me started doing voices at all. Fraz had a very nasal voice, still does, actually. I believe he's still in the Toronto School Board. And he speaks like this, but he was trying to do Columbo, which had just premiered.
Yeah.
In the schoolyard for a bunch of my peers, you know, and especially there were a lot of little girls around him. So I went up and said, Mr. Fraser, sir, I'm sorry to bother you, but there's been a murder here. You just killed a Peter Falk impression. And I was off and running, you know, and that led to, you know, I did stand-up comedy in Toronto for 3 years and for seven in Los Angeles at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
I had a nice 10-year run just doing stand-up, and then this voiceover thing kind of, you know, just kind of happened. I tripped sideways into it with first Inspector Gadget, where I played the chief. Here's your assignment, Gadget. And then Real Ghostbusters, which we did for like 3-4 years, where I was Dr. Egon Spengler. I played Harold Ramis's character,
yeah,
with his blessing. And so, you know, it just snowballed on from there. And now I'm on Disenchantment, Matt Groening's new show.
Oh, nice.
On Netflix, I play Prime Minister Oddvall. And a secret project I can't tell you anything about right now, but I think a lot of people who grew up in the 90s will be happy to see it again. So,
oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, but I can't tell you what it is. I can't tell you what it is. I'm under a big NDA. In fact, they sent an enforcer home with me to punch me out if I tell you.
No one wants that.
A guy named NDA. A-N-D-A.
Isn't
that Andy backwards?
Wait. The first time I saw you was on a sketch comedy show, and I don't remember the name of it, but you were doing different characters then. You were doing voices. You were on camera for it. What would that have been?
My gosh. It might have been the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. I did Inspector Gadget. I have the honor of being the first live-action Inspector Gadget. I beat Matthew Broderick to the punch.
Wow.
So it might have been that. where else did I do sketches? I did some sketches on An Evening at the Improv. I actually wrote and performed in the last season of Evening at the Improv. And I had a sketch with Tony Curtis, which was wonderful, because I got to do Tony for Tony, and he signed his book to me, to Maurice, from me to you, who's me, Tony Curtis.
What did he say when you did Tony to Tony?
He said that nothing like me. That sounds nothing like me.
What a compliment.
No, he actually said, marvelous, that's wonderful. He was a very joyous guy, actually. I really enjoyed meeting him.
And you know, he did the voice of Stoney Curtis on the Flintstones.
He did indeed.
Not
a lot of people know that. A lot of people think they hired an impressionist. But in its time, the Flintstones was the Simpsons.
Yes.
It was a prime time show. And a lot of, and Margaret did herself on the show. You know, a lot of celebrities did the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True or false, your dad, a newsman there in Canada, used to work with Alex Trebek. Is that true or false?
True. Absolutely true.
What was that
in
like?
In 1962-63, he did the French news after Peter Jennings and Alex Trebek did the English news on the same set. They just flipped the switch and it went out on the French signal. So Trebek and Jennings would clear the set. My dad would come in and do the whole show that they'd done in French, backwards, and in high heels. He did the news, sports, and weather.
How cool. That's amazing. Are there voices that even you can't master? Has there ever been a voice that you thought, I really want to do this guy or his voice? I just can't pull it off. Has that ever happened?
You know, with some work, I used to say I'm the only impressionist who can't do John Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my favorite way of getting an impression down is to listen to them in the reels, as it were, talking to an audience or being interviewed or outtakes. The outtake tapes to me are the greatest way to nail down somebody, and that's how I got Orson Welles, that famous Frozen Peas outtake tape. And so there's an outtake tape, unfortunately, of poor John Wayne, as drunk on his ass, talking to I think they're USC students, and he's like, "My name is William Wayne. I don't know what the hell this list is kind of complete."
And what about the masters? Did you ever get to meet the guys that are a generation ahead, like Frank Gorshin and Rich Little and Joe Baker? Did you ever get to work with those guys or meet them?
Well, I got to meet Rich Little when I was a kid. I went to one of his shows and snuck backstage to get his autograph when I was like 17. Frank, I actually got to work with. I did a Canadian variety show called Variety Tonight, and I was the host. And Frank came up and did two episodes, and so we did a little impression off on the show. Unfortunately, only Canadians saw it. Not unfortunate for them. It was actually a pretty fun show.
Yeah.
But, I don't have any of that footage, but I got to meet Frank, and I bump into him down here. He's always very sweet to me. Those guys were my heroes. And in the cartoon world, I missed Mel Blanc by 10 minutes.
Oh, no.
I walked into a session that he just finished doing Heathcliff, and I went, "It smells like cigarettes in here." Yeah, Mel Blanc was in here with his cigarettes and his oxygen tank. I said, "Oh, I missed him. Oh, darn." But I did get to work with the great Don Messick, you know, who was
Scooby
the Ranger Smith and Boo Boo. He was on Tiny Toons. I was Dizzy, and he was Hampton Pig. And we got to do a wonderful episode based on The Odd Couple, where the Dizzy Devil is the Oscar and Hampton is the Felix. And it was so great to work with Don. He was old school, but a true master. And, I learned at his feet.
Sure.
Frank Welker taught me everything I know. That was, I just have to throw that in there. I went doing Gadget and then into Ghostbusters, sitting next to Frank. He literally gave me a master class in voiceover acting. And we've worked together ever since. We did Futurama together and just so many characters. I mean, he just taught me so much about creating characters.
So please tell me you love doing this, because it always sounds like you do. Anytime I hear any of the shows you're associated with, it just sounds like you're doing it with so much fun behind it. Are you enjoying it?
Morbo is extremely pleased yet sticky to have this career. Yes, even though I have to fly on the Dupe Starship with Captain Brannigan. Oh, I can't stand Valor. It chafes me so. I really, really enjoy being a voiceover actor. Oh, yes, indeed. It's better than having me bottom dipped repeatedly in a vat of the finest creams and oils.
So when people come up to get an autograph from you, Maurice, do they just put their head down and try and envision the character? Because that's what I'm doing.
Well, what I do is I generally hold the picture up for them, you know, so I say, now look at this. Because if they just look at my, you know, swarthy, complected face, you know, they're going to go, that doesn't fit, that doesn't sound right, you know. So I always hold up the picture and then, you know, hand them the photo and go and read them what I've written, you know. So,
oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm Lur, ruler of the planet Ogaroma Droppers. Yeah, can I crash on your couch? Love Lur, you know, things like that.
Maurice, that's so funny because whenever I would see Alan Reed in a movie, Alan Reed is the man who played Fred Flintstone, you'd see him in a movie and he'd act and he'd talk and you'd go, it's Fred Flintstone's voice in that guy's body. What happened?
In that guy's body. He was a kind of a fire plug of a guy. He wasn't fat. He was like, he's very, just like, his barrel chested and you know, he looked like an enforcer. And he had a very, he played a lot of very proper sounding people.
Yes.
He only had that Fred Flintstone kind of thing when he was doing Fred. He gave him a working class accent. And that big laugh, and Bonnie, come on, let's sneak out on the girls. I got to play Fred Flintstone in a great show called Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law, which, you know, kind of, it never got its due, but I thought it was one of the most satirical and fun shows I've ever done. Yeah.
Maurice, so nice to finally get to talk to you. Wendy and I have been fans of yours for so long.
You're amazing.
Keep up the great
Thank
work,
you so
sir.
So much. Thank you very much. C2E2 this weekend, folks.
Yep.
Come see us.
The website is c2e2.com, and Maurice will be there. And again, continued success to you.
All of the Animaniacs, come on out and see us. Okay,
excellent.
See you later, guys. Take care.
Thank you. That was the easiest interview ever.
Wasn't it?
Either he talked all the time or you did.
Right.
I, honest to God, like Rick and Morty, I love. Dexter's Laboratory, I used to watch all the time. He did a Popeye and Son. What was that?
There was a season, maybe two, but I think one, where they did a show where Popeye had a son who was like him, and he played Popeye on Popeye and Son. On Dennis the Menace, which he mentioned, he played not only Henry Mitchell, Dennis's father, but Mr. Wilson, who lived next door, and Ruff the dog.
Really?
He did all of them. Yeah. He's very talented.
Loved that show.
Me too. Wasn't that great?
It was. Well, he went down to dinner in his Sunday best.
Excitable boy, they all said. He's definitely an excitable boy. He's our excitable boy. He is David Hochberg, Vice President of Lending at Team Hochberg, alongside Homeside Financial.
Yeah.
That seems clunky to say. Lending, Vice President of Lending of Team Hochberg.
Yeah, just that's it.
Done. We have a whole team.
Got a whole team. Yeah. I've been very fortunate over the past 18 years to surround myself with a great team of mortgage professionals that are able to help the listeners out, because I try to talk to as many listeners as I can. We get literally 20, 30 phone calls a day and a bunch of emails. I try to respond to as many as I can, but sometimes...
You're only one man.
I'm only one guy,
man, but you have a team.
I have a whole team.
I'm sure you get this question a lot, but does the team have blazers, and are the blazers fitted?
Some have blazers, and they are fitted, most people don't wear blazers because they don't look good in blazers.
Oh,
but for you, I said Bill's going to ask this question because
he's
going to ask at least one ridiculous question when I'm on today. So we went out and bought blazers.
You did? Team Hochberg?
And slacks.
Oh,
my gosh. So when you asked the slacks question,
covered.
I got that covered,
all right,
too.
Excellent. Thank
you,
David.
No problem.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
What shall we cover today?
We're talking about, I just wanted to, first of all, I always come on and thank your listeners.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to thank... I want to thank Don that called yesterday. He had he had 8 years left to go on a 15-year fixed, about $120,000 at 3.75, great rate. But he had $60,000 of credit card and medical bills. His wife had a medical challenge that you don't expect, and thank God she made it through the medical challenge. But with the medical challenge came $60,000 worth of medical bills and credit card bills. So he called me for a home equity loan, and I ran the numbers for him. I'm just like, I know you're really enamored with that 15-year fixed loan with that great rate, but if I put you into a home equity loan, that rate is going to be a heck of a lot higher, and the payment's going to be a lot higher. So long story short, we talked about it. We talked to him about going into a 10-year, a 15-year, a 30-year. So we talked to him about refinancing into a 15-year fixed loan. Turns out before calling us, he contacted his current lender, this Mr. Cooper,
Okay, Mr. Cooper wanted to charge him like $6,000 in closing costs. It's a servicing company, and they wanted to charge him over $6,000 in closing costs. It costs about $2,100 to close. $6,000.
Right.
It's a lot of money. Yeah. Three times the amount of what they should be charged. And here's a guy that just had his wife survive a gigantic medical scare.
We're on your side, David.
I know.
So
these people are sticking their hands in this guy's pocket. So long story short, I calmed down because I got fired up, and I just said, here's what we're going to do. All right, I was picking my daughter up from dance class from Hebrew school to take her to a nutritious dinner at Portillo's before taking her to dance.
Delicious.
You know, she ate a Portillo a portobello mushroom. I had a cheeseburger with fries.
Yeah.
So I handed it over to my guys.
Crucial to the story.
I want to make sure everybody knows at least she's eating healthy.
Yes.
Because why go to Portillo's if why have a salad? Right? What the hell is that all about? So
they have a great chop salad.
They do have a great chop salad, but I was in the mood for a cheeseburger and fries. So, boom, we had a cheeseburger and fries. So, Scott Ellis, the guy on my team, calls this individual back.
Don.
Yeah. Took care of Don, saving Don about $2,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And if he wants to, his 40, his 60 grand worth of credit card and medical bills is costing him over $2,500. Mm. So, long story short, we saved him a ton of money. So, thank you to Don. And, again, it's not about the rate. It's about the payment, and Don got it. And if a lot of people think they have to go to their current lender and don't rely on your current lender because most of the times they're going to just jam you in closing costs and Rocket Loving Lending, I've got proof. I called for a loan for myself. They wanted to charge me $4,000 or $5,000 more than what I was going to be able to get for me and a quarter point higher.
Mm-hmm.
So don't get caught up in all the hype. Right, mm-hmm. with all these online lenders and your current servicer, because most likely they're going to feed off of that comfort level that you think you have with them and then just break it over your head with higher rates and higher closing costs. Now, today what I'd like to talk about is that the Fed basically said that they're not going to increase rates again this year.
Which they've done it, like, what, four times already?
Not this year. Last year was a run-up, times this year, but they're not raising any more this year, which is great because if you've noticed, gas is like $2.99. Yeah. I'm like, what the hell happened to gas? It was like $70 higher mm-hmm. in the past quarter. It's gone up 70 cents. I'm like a couple weeks ago, it's $2.69. I pulled in. I just drove by the gas station, $2.99.
Yes.
So all of this stuff, the economy is not growing as fast as it was before. I'm just breaking it down into the ridiculous people. So what does this mean for homeowners? This means that your home equity line of credit is not going to continue to go up, according to the Fed, because they said that they're not going to increase rates again this year. That's good for credit card statements for your listeners carrying balances on the credit cards. Their minimums aren't going to go up through the end of the year because the Fed's not going to increase rates. Car loans, if you want to go get a car loan, those car loans have been inching up as well. So this is a nice catch your breath. This also is a shout out for everybody out there. Look at your mortgage statements because mortgage rates have come down because they always anticipate future rate hikes. So they're kind of always staying ahead a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm.
Now that they just announced yesterday that they're not going to increase rates, mortgage rates have kind of slipped back a little bit. So for everybody out there, if you start with like a 4.5 or higher, it's a perfect opportunity to call your lender. You want to call us? Call us. Call your lender. Just call somebody because your real estate taxes are not going backwards. Okay,
it's so just the opposite.
It's They're just the opposite.
Rapidly.
Oh, well, you're in Illinois.
I can't even believe that.
Yeah.
So the long and the short of it is that you have an opportunity here to reset, listeners, and to possibly take a look at those loans you went into last year that start with the 5. We got a guy right now, he had crummy credit because another medical challenge had happened to another one of our borrower's wives, $60,000 worth of debt. He had to take out the money. He had to do some things around the house. We put him into 5 5/8 in October. Because of the credit score, his credit was really bad, challenge. We got his credit, paid off his debt. We're going to be bringing him back into the 4s now. Okay, so he's going from 5 5/8 into the 4s, almost a full point drop. We're going to give him a full closing cost credit. So this is, again, I'm here to educate your listeners. This is an excellent opportunity to contact your lenders. If you want to call us, great, 855-56-DAVID, which is great. If you want to call whoever you're using, it's a great opportunity to call somebody to see if there's an opportunity.
That doesn't cost anything. The call is free.
It's a free consultation. Right. Can't help if you don't call. Also, over 2,000 people have registered for the free mortgage sweepstakes.
It's not a contest, David.
It's a sweepstakes.
It's a sweepstakes.
Billy, for the love of God, I don't need an attorney.
It sounds like a contest.
I'm already in the middle of a lawsuit.
But it is not a contest.
Pearl suing me for some ridiculous thing.
It is a sweepstakes.
I'm in the middle of a sweepstakes. I don't need any more lawsuits going on.
A lawsuit or a law sweepstakes?
That, too. I don't need any. Right. So I can't talk about the other thing until we win. But I'm talking about sweepstakes right now. In Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, Michigan, and the great state of Iowa.
Yes.
Okay. It has to be your primary residence. You have to be at least 21 years old. You have to be on the mortgage. You have to be current on your mortgage. It's pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
And then how do people register for the sweepstakes?
It's very simple. That's even more simple. You go to 56davidwin.com. You fill out 7 or 8 different fields. You hit enter. Boom. You're going to get a call from me, a text from me, and an email from me saying that you're registered.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Congratulations. We do that to make sure that we have your right phone number, we have your right cell phone number for the text, and we have your right email. So if you win or when you win, we have a way of contacting you. We're not going to bomb you with information.
Right.
We just need ways to reach you in case you win. So I could show up. I ordered a bunch of those 4-foot
checks.
I got the big checks ordered from
people
a place in Northbrook.
The big checks.
4 foot by 3.5. I could get it in my car. It's great. And I hope to put one of your listeners' names on it. But you can't win if you don't enter.
Right.
56davidwin.com.
It's a sweepstakes.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and find out some more information.
Like a hot towel, David?
I'd prefer a cool towel.
A cold towel?
Cold instead of hot. I'm already hot. I need a cold towel to cool me down.
Right. David was gracious enough to invite me to his Blackhawk suite the other night. My family and I went. He is so mild-mannered in that suite, which
is
exactly the opposite of what you get here.
Huh.
Quite a...
well, late. What a juxtaposition.
I've already been up 19 hours. I need a little relaxation. Yes.
So watch a hockey game, an NHL game.
Right, got John Weideman. Right, exactly.
All right.
Very soothing.
More with David Hochberg coming up. David Hochberg, Senior Vice President of Lending of Team Hochberg at Homeside Financial. 855-56-DAVID is the number to call.
Yep.
And he has the sweepstakes going on where he will pay your mortgage payment for 1 month, correct?
1 month. Principal and interest. We will give you a check. Big check. But we will put the money into your account or give it to you, and then you're going to be responsible to make your mortgage payment, because we've had heard horror stories in the past where banks have rejected mortgage payments from a third party because they don't recognize the bank where it's coming from.
Maybe the check is too big to fit in the pneumatic tube and it can't get to the banker.
You know, I'm gonna get a check just to break over your head.
All right.
One of those crazy things.
All right. So how do people register to win? And people have been registering since you first got on the air with us.
Over 50 people already have registered from WGN listeners. So
it's a free month of mortgage.
I don't know why
we should register.
I'm registering.
No, seriously. I don't know why more people. I think they don't believe it until.
Too good to be true.
It's too good to be true until the first winner is selected next Saturday on my show on another station.
Are you doing one a month?
I'm doing one a month. At last Saturday of every month on my show on WLS across the street from 10 until noon.
Cool.
Yeah, WLS, AM 890.
No, don't say it again.
Oh, okay, well, you said who. I fell into the trap. Oh. I got another show on another station. We're going to pick it last Saturday.
Sucky station.
Okay, that's your opinion. Thanks for that. That's where Stephanie Mendez is now program director that used to work here. Okay, so congratulations.
That's why there's a lot of anger in me.
I know. Okay, well, let's just keep focused here. Keep it in the white lines, all right? So I'm going to pick one winner. So if you enter today, Wendy.
Yes.
You're good through the end of the year, end of the calendar year. You only have to enter once. So if you don't win... next Saturday when we pick, you're still involved in the sweepstakes through the end of the year. So
you win, you win. There's no runoff with Lori Lightfoot. You just automatically win.
Unless you can catch Lori Lightfoot, because nobody knows where Lori Lightfoot is right now. Lori Lightfoot, the mayor. Listen, I hope she wins.
Who'd you think he meant?
I thought you meant Lori Loughlin. Lori's mixed up.
Come on.
I love Lori Lightfoot. I was trying to move to Chicago so I could vote for Lori Lightfoot because Tony Preckwinkle makes my skin crawl. Oh.
All right, this is just a great segment today.
But that's another story.
Okay,
for another
day. One winner a month, and you can only enter once. And here's the deal. He's going to enter your name in to randomly pick it.
Right.
And if he sees your name and info more than once...
Well, yeah, we're going to bounce out all the duplicates.
Yeah.
Send people a number, right? You're going to get a ticket. I bought 100,000 raffle tickets in chronologically proper order, and you're going to get the number. And we're going to pick it and say, hey, 52487 53. You win. Congratulations. And then hopefully they're local, so I could schlep out there with this check and present it to them, because that's the whole thing with the social media and everything.
You'll come to their house?
I'm going to go to their house. Oh. We're going to take pictures.
So I can remember when Ed McMahon used to do that for Publishers Clearinghouse.
Exactly.
Dave's the new Ed McMahon.
I'm trying to find somebody named Ed McMahon to go with.
That would be fun.
Would that be great?
That would be
go
wonderful.
With the balloons and everything.
How do people register?
Go to the number six, D-A-V-I-D, win. You have to go to 56DavidWin. Because if you go to 56David.com, takes you to our team's website, but 56DavidWin takes you to the website that you could register to enter to win a free mortgage in the free mortgage
sweepstakes. It's not a contest. It's not a champagne brunch.
Not
at all.
But I would love to have some champagne breakfast if I'm bringing over the check. Right. It would be nice.
That would be
to
nice.
Have some snacks there.
All right.
So I appreciate the opportunity. Rates are low. And again, they're the lowest they've been in a couple of months.
Real quickly, when the Fed says we're not going to change anything from now and the end of the year, you can take them at their word?
Yes, you could take them at their words, because 11 of the 17 governors said that they're not going to change anything.
Yeah.
But if we have a God forbid moment, like another 9/11, God forbid, then they've reserved the right to do emergency modes to get the economy going like they did the last time.
Right.
But I hope that never happens again.
Right.
It was horrible.
All right.
Always a pleasure, David.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. It's David Hochberg, everybody. Reach him. He's at your house. He's right outside your house.
855-56-DAVID or 56David.com.
Coming up, the stories that matter with Ryan Burrow from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
I guess I'll go Bradley. Come on, Bradley. Go Bradley.
But you know, I want to point out, because I know we're going to get roasted here pretty soon, President Trump has not, at least to this point, released a bracket. So if he did, we'd, of course, say that as well. But
you have to say that, really?
I don't want people to think that we're
Well, he's
biased.
Being audited,
yeah, I
Brian.
Mean, it, this
well,
is something
sure once the audit
you can't
is
pick
done.
Brackets when you're being
not
audited.
Not when you're being audited. People
That's
know that.
Against the law.
Right.
All right, well, we have a pair of tickets to give away to see Penn and Teller. If you want to escape from the political landscape, well, you may not be able to, because Penn sometimes says some things.
A little outspoken.
They are returning to the Chicago Theater on Friday, November 8th. Over 40 years, this duo has defied labels and redefining the genre of magic and inventing their own very distinct niche in comedy. I love watching them on that show that I can never remember the name of. It's a weekly show. I watch it all the time.
Yeah.
I can't think
of that. This Is Us?
No.
Are they on This Is Us?
I wish they were. I wish Teller would play the part of the baby.
Penn Pearson and Teller Pearson?
Yes. 312-981-7200. Let's fill up the phone lines. We're going to take two listeners. Bill, we are going to pit them up against each other.
I love when people are pitted up against each other.
And I want to explain the rules once we get them.
Okay,
so
that's fair.
Let's do the fifth and seventh caller. Jasmine, caller number five, caller number seven, 312-981-7200. If you don't win a pair of tickets to see Penn and Teller from us today, you can get your tickets at the Chicago Theater box office or Ticketmaster, and that's tickets go on sale starting tomorrow morning, Friday, 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So 312-981-7200. We have our caller number five right now. You want to say hello?
Please.
Hi, Kitty.
Hi, how are you?
Good. You like Penn and Teller?
I love them.
All right. Do you like music, like classic rock?
Sure.
Do you like Walks on the Beach?
No.
You do not like
you
Walks
don't.
On the Beach. That's interesting. All right.
I'm surprised.
All right. You're still eligible. Just
All
curious.
Right. Stand by Kitty from Wheaton. We are waiting for our seventh caller.
No one wants to go up against Kitty from Wheaton, and I don't blame them. I would not want to go up against you, Kitty. No way.
All right. Here's your challenger. Amy, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Wendy, how are you?
Good. Amy, where are you calling from?
Good. I'm from Oregon, Illinois.
Oregon, Illinois. All right. Amy, meet Kitty. Kitty, meet Amy.
Hi, Amy.
All right.
You want a fair fight, ladies.
Okay, yes. Okay.
Now, I don't think this is going to be too difficult, but I will be honest with you. You need to know some music, mainly some classic rock tunes, very popular tunes. We have gone through, and the theme magic is contained in each and every one of these songs. We are going to start the song. When you think you know it, yell out your name, and you need to know the title of the song and the artist.
You need to know both? Title of the song and artist.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
This is these are pretty easy. These are magic songs, and they're really not that hard. And I have a many of them put together. We'll see what it looks like. And if we need a tiebreaker, I have one of those as well. So you know what the rules are right now, correct?
Correct.
Yell your name when you can identify the song. We're going to do Name That Tune. We need the title of the song and the name of the artist.
First one to get to 100.
No. There aren't that many.
Oh, all right. All right.
Are you ready? Are you ready to begin? You want to try out your buzzers?
Kidding. Amy.
All right. Pretty
buzzers
good buzzers.
Are working well.
All right. Are you ready to begin?
Yes.
All right, Jasmine. Hit song number one. Amy?
Oh. Magic Carpet Ride?
Bye.
I don't remember. Darn it. Whoops.
Ooh.
Sorry.
This goes to Kitty.
Does Kitty get to hear more of it, or does she have to pick it up here?
Yeah, you can just keep letting it roll, right. Jazz. I don't know if it's going to help you, though. Any guesses, Kitty?
My guess would be...
You're Googling it.
Steppenwolf. Nope. I'm at work.
Wow. No computers at work, Wendy. You know the rules.
Not here. I don't have a computer here.
Well, do I believe her, Bill?
I think, yeah. She's always been very trustworthy.
Amy, you said Magic Carpet Ride, but it went to Kitty. Kitty, who does this song?
Steppenwolf.
Very
I'll give
nice.
It to you.
Very
right.
nice.
Kitty has one
theater.
Point.
Kitty
oh, yeah.
leads 1-0.
All right. Can you keep score for me?
Yeah, 1-0.
All
Kitty.
Right. Thank you. All right. So, Amy and Kitty, here we go with song number two. Same like before. When you think you know it, title and artist, yell out your name. You ready?
Ready. Amy.
Kitty. Amy. I heard Amy first. Amy. Who-
okay. I believe that is Magic Man by Heart.
You're absolutely
wow.
correct.
Yeah.
That was two notes in.
I know, that was pretty good.
Two notes in.
Thank
All
you.
All right. It's a tie score.
1-1, Wendy. 1-1.
We move on to song number three. And are you ready, ladies?
Ready.
For Penn & Teller tickets, go ahead, Jazz.
Amy. Okay, Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic by The Police.
That was great.
Absolutely wow. right. All right, Thank Kitty, you. Let's check your buzzer again.
Kitty.
All right, it's
Buzzer's
working.
Does she get a point for that, Wendy?
No.
She does not.
Amy is ahead 2-1 for Penn & Teller tickets. We are ready for the next song. Are you ready?
Ready. Yes.
All right.
Amy.
Oh.
I'm going to say Magic Bus by The Who.
Absolutely.
Wow. Wow. 3-1 in favor of Amy.
All right. Kitty, you sure you're still in this?
I'm still in it.
Kitty's only down by two. It's not impossible.
No, it's not. We have a few more here.
Yeah.
All right. If you're ready, ladies, we begin with the next song. Again, when you know the title and the artist, yell out your name.
Okay.
Oh, that was Ooh, a complete
that was a,
tie.
Yeah. Jump ball. You got to do a jump ball.
I don't know what to do. That was exactly at the same time.
Yeah, that was instantaneous on both.
Can we go to the tape?
Yeah, let's go to the tape.
No,
go to the tape.
We can't.
roll it.
We can scratch this one, but I don't know what to do. It is exactly the same time. Bill, I turn to you as Mr. Rulebook.
Oh, boy. I think you have to throw this one out because they did. They both got it at the exact same time. So Put this one on hold.
All right, well, let's see. Give it to Kitty first, see if she gets it. This one doesn't count.
Oh.
Right. Santana, Black Magic Woman.
Yes.
You would have got a point.
I'm
and that
sorry.
Was our bonus round. You would have got 1,000 points. How frustrating. That's very frustrating.
Although Fleetwood Mac did that song originally. Did you know that? Because
no.
I did not know that.
Hmm. Or when
All
do
right.
you get a point?
I got my own point.
Yeah.
All right. We're ready for the next one.
Kitty
was first, Wendy, no doubt. That was not the band, by the way, Kitty. I wasn't trying to help you with No Doubt.
Kitty, what do you have for us?
Cars.
Name of the song?
Oh, it's Magic.
That's
You're right.
Yeah.
Magic. All
Very
right.
nice.
3-2. Amy's up.
It's neck and neck.
They get a little harder here. All right, let's play number 7. Are you ready, girls?
Ready.
I'm pretending I'm at a prom.
Do you know this song?
Yeah.
Is someone coughing?
Throwing up.
You're sailing softly through the sun. Stone Age Dawn. You fly so high.
If we wait a little longer, you can figure out the title.
Kitty.
Kitty, go ahead.
ELO, Black Magic.
Ooh. No.
Ooh.
No. So, Amy, it goes to
it's
you.
Magic.
Hang on, Amy.
Yeah. I don't know, so I'll just guess it's Magic ELO.
No.
I don't know. No.
That's not it either. They say
okay.
the name in the song.
Yeah, where did the song go? I don't know where
the broken stone age down.
It's Strange Magic.
Strange Magic.
It's Strange Magic, yeah.
All right, we have 3 left, ladies. And they might get a little bit harder as we go along. Kitty has 2 points. Amy has 3 points. This is for Penn and Teller tickets at the Chicago Theater in November. Next one.
Do you believe in magic in a young girl's heart? Music can free her whenever it starts.
Are you there, girls?
Yeah, I think I know the name, but not
the title. Don't know the people.
Have to know both.
Alright, do you believe in magic? You were both...
Kitty.
Kitty, go ahead.
Kitty.
It's, do you believe in magic by Lovin' Spoonfuls?
I'm going to give it to you. It's the Lovin' Spoonful.
All right.
It's
okay.
Now, Trebek would not have given it to you. You know that, Kitty. But Wendy
yes,
is a kinder, gentler Trebek. So.
That's pretty close. Although, is someone
but
there helping
in jeopardy.
You?
Absolutely not. I have dogs on the floor here helping me.
The dogs are helping? Well,
all right. Yes. We have 2 left.
You should probably just do 1, because if they each get 1 right, it'll be a tie. So you should probably bring it down to this 1, huh? Don't you think?
Yeah,
can't
but I do have a tie. I do have a tiebreaker.
Oh, there's a tiebreaker?
Too,
oh,
but,
do too.
All right, let's do number 9. Are you ready, Kitty? You ready, Amy?
Ready.
This magic moment.
I wonder what the title is.
I don't know.
And so new, what's like any other? Until I kiss you, and then it happened.
Any guesses? They don't know it. Either know it.
Kitty.
Kitty, give it a shot.
Kitty, you're looking these up.
I am not looking these up.
Wendy, there's dogs there to make sure she's being on the up and up.
All right, who is
That's
it?
That's right.
And
That's
what
right.
is it?
It is this magic moment. It's by Jay and the Americans.
No, but that's a nice try. They did a version of it. This particular one,
that's the one I know.
Is by the Drifters. Still a tie score here. Kitty has 3 points. Amy has 3 points.
It all comes down to this.
It comes down to this one. And I want to make sure your buzzers are working. Amy, I'm not hearing from you at all. Let me hear your buzzer.
Amy.
Kitty, let me hear your buzzer.
Kitty.
All right. Whoever says this, their names first, and can identify this song and this artist, will walk away with Penn & Teller tickets.
Okay. Amy.
Kitty. Amy was first. Amy was first. Amy was first.
Okay. Puff the Magic Dragon, John Denver?
No. No, but that was a great attempt. It goes to you, Kitty. Oh.
Peter, Paul, and Mary, Puff the Magic Dragon.
Absolutely right.
There it is.
Oh, my God. You guys came so down to the end. Amy,
yes, good job, Kitty. Thank you, Amy.
All right,
look,
you're
at
welcome.
That.
Here's what's going to happen, girls. I have one pair of tickets. Bill does not have another, so we have one pair of tickets to see Penn & Teller returning to the Chicago Theater Friday, November 8th. Kitty, you get those Penn & Teller tickets.
Thank you.
You can get your tickets at the Chicago Theater box office or Ticketmaster starting tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. But, Amy, we have a consolation prize for you.
Thank
consolation.
You.
Yes.
We also have a consolation
prize. We're going to take you to the Shedd Aquarium to look at the stars. We have a consolation prize for you. We have a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Well,
that is great.
It'll put a smile on your face, I hope.
Yes, it will. Thank you.
Thank you so much for playing, you guys.
Thank you for having us.
Great battle, ladies. Well played, both
of
you.
Thank you.
All right. We have a Lou Malnati's gift certificate as the consolation prize. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations. Or you can order online at loumalnatis.com.
Nicely done. Very nice.
I always feel bad having a winner and a loser.
Somebody's going to not win.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm one of those parents. I want everybody to win. It's Bill, it's Wendy at 720 WGN. All right, so we gave away our pair of tickets to see Penn and Teller, and I'm feeling really bad because Kitty could have admitted it. I accused her of cheating. No one thought she was cheating. She said she wasn't cheating.
Right.
I looked to you for assistance.
Yes.
But there was a dead giveaway that...
Well, the dogs were obviously helping her.
Well, here's the thing.
The dogs were certainly helping.
And Kitty, this is up to you. You can call back and apologize. But I feel like Amy was slighted because so many texts. First of all, as a listener pointed out, if, you know, I'm at work, I don't have a computer.
Right.
But then I'm here with my dogs, unless she's working at work with her dogs.
That, which is possible.
Yeah, but then somebody pointed out, if you look up this magic moment, the first thing that pops up on Google is Jay and the Americans.
Oh.
We were duped.
I don't know. Maybe. We'll see what happens.
No, I can't see what happens. We gave her the prize, but Kitty, because of you, we can no longer do contests on the radio.
Is
there
anything
nice? Protest now?
Yeah, it's under protest.
I can't trust anyone. I guess if
you just discovered that today?
I like to look for the good in people.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
That's so not fair or fun
right.
when you cheat.
And Rachel review is coming.
Amy had to put her house up for sale. The family's leaving the area now.
Well, at least they have a pizza while they're packing.
That's true. There's the positive. You found the positive.
All right. Well, now we have to rework games, and you get 10 seconds to answer the question, because I guess if you didn't know it by then, you're probably not going to know it.
All right. That's fair.
All right. We need to take a break, and then we're going to check in with Dean Richards, who is going to tell us what's going on in the world of showbiz. Dean doesn't cheat, does he? Is he a cheater?
Dean cheats, yeah.
He does?
Yeah.
Does everybody?
Yeah, everybody does.
All right.
Yeah. He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard boys. Dean.
Hello, Dean.
Hello, Wendy.
How are you, Dean? Everything good?
Hello, Bill.
Hi.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America.
Oh, and all the ships at sea.
And all its ships at sea.
Yes. Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello from the beautiful northwest side of Chicago.
Ah.
Wow, you're actually in town today, but out of town tomorrow. Aren't you going to be in St. Charles?
I am going to be in St. Charles. How did you know that?
A little bird texted me.
Oh.
Oh.
Birds are now texting? Yes. Little birds are texting now?
Is that a little producer bird of yours?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who may have tweeted that I'm going to be out there tomorrow?
Yes. What are you doing in St. Charles?
Donnie Wahlberg is they're groundbreaking a Wahlburgers restaurant location in St. Charles, and he's going to be there, and so am I.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's time to stalk him.
Well, he and Jenny McCarthy live out that way somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I
What's a Wahlburger?
I see their house many times with my binoculars from far away.
Dean was going to go to St. Charles tomorrow, but...
The restraining order
has gone into effect.
Just kicked in. Wahlburgers, it's like a...
Have there been others?
Oh, around the country, definitely. And there's one that's about to open blocks away from where you are downtown. As well.
A casual dining burger restaurant and bar.
Well, that's the way I would put it off the top of my head without reading it from someplace, too.
That sounds good. That'll be a good time for you.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a good burger place. So, yeah. Mark Wahlberg, my close personal friend, Marky Mark, I don't know if you remember back when I was a member of the Funky Bunch.
Yes.
We used to,
yes.
We used to hang wearing our Calvin Klein underwear and... just in interviewing him the past couple of years, he's been telling me how great this family business is that the Wahlbergs have.
Here's an advertising idea. It could be Wahlburgers, home of the Funky Brunch.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Wouldn't that be nice? They could do that.
I'm going to suggest that.
Suggest that. Take all the credit.
Yeah, I'm going to suggest that.
In case he doesn't like it.
And that Bill Left gets the royalties.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. I like
that. Yeah, I'm not trying to steal your... I steal my own stuff.
That's fine. Dean, explain this to me. It's Bill Cosby, his wife Camille's 75th birthday.
Oh, happy birthday!
And he's sending out tweets, but how is he able to do that while he's in prison?
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that you were allowed to tweet from prison.
I didn't
prison.
Think you could either.
Yeah, that seems like sort of anti-prison behavior.
Yeah, yeah. It's
why not? You can write letters, can't you?
Yeah, but don't you have to have a computer?
Well, they have in the common areas, I would imagine, not from experience, but...
Really?
Wouldn't you think?
I would think not. I would think they would try to shut off any communication, I would imagine.
Or at least, monitor it.
He's Bill Cosby, though, guys.
Greatly. Yeah, he's also in prison.
He wrote, Dear... Yeah, there's that.
But celebrity prison is different, I think.
Well, that may be.
Dear, you're a wonderful mother, a loving wife, but most importantly, you are the strength of this family. Please celebrate your day. Happy 75th birthday to my beautiful bride, Camille. And then it's a bunch of hashtags, which include the hashtag Free Bill Cosby. So he's still giving himself some credit.
Yeah.
And then people have written very nasty things all over the place because...
Including Camille.
Maybe including Camille.
One of the hashtags on that, I believe, is far from finished.
Yeah, that is one of the hashtags.
Implying this ain't over.
Yeah, yeah, you're going to see more of them. Very strange.
I thought I read that Camille has not visited him in jail.
Oh,
he
really?
Asked. I did read that. He asked for her not to come.
Hmm.
He said he's having an amazing time. Honestly, we talked about that in prison.
Wish you weren't here.
Here's a guy who has written his own parody of the Bill Cosby tweet. Camille, after 50 years of marriage, every time I was sleeping with another woman, all 200 of them, awake or asleep, I was thinking about you. That's horrible.
That's not nice.
Wow.
That's not nice.
Do you believe that the internet, now the whole reason behind the internet, Dean, is just so that people can rip on other people? That's kind of the main thing it's used for at this point, right?
Yes, rip on other people, complain, be nasty, be mean.
Yeah.
Nancy Liu, you know, our reporter here on WGN TV, I don't know if you heard this.
Yes.
That her son is one of the bachelors on the new season of Bachelorette.
And her words of wisdom to him.
Yeah, don't do anything stupid.
Yeah. Which, you know, it's edited and moved around. So even if he doesn't do something stupid, they could make him look like that.
But she was telling me today, just about an hour ago, she came in here Because we've mentioned the story a couple of times on the air. We, you know, it's a local connection to this, I guess. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, it's one of our very own, really, mm-hmm. that's a part of it. She came in, like, really distressed-looking, saying that both she and her son are getting nasty emails and that it's already started.
Because but why? What happened?
To your point that just people want to complain about everything. And, you know, people are implying that Nancy somehow was involved in getting him on The Bachelorette. She had nothing to do with it. That, as she told me, they sought out him. They did not, seek to be on the show.
Yeah.
That he was found. He's a nice-looking young man.
Yeah.
And, you know, they found him. They wanted him to be on the show. But people are, you know, just this nasty tone that exists on social media right now.
Dean, I used to watch, and maybe you did too, after Saturday Night Live for a while, they used to have a show on called Showtime at the Apollo.
Oh, sure.
And when they'd have stand-up comics on, sometimes they would just say the comic's name, and the guy or the girl would walk on stage, and people would just boo them for no reason at all. They hadn't said a word yet.
Right.
And I used to think, oh, I'm so glad all of life isn't like that.
Yeah, now life is like
life
that.
Life is exactly like that now.
Right. And it's, you know, at the Apollo, I mean, it's a, I guess, like a tradition there.
Yes.
That if the crowd doesn't like you, they boo you.
Yes.
And somebody comes and literally comes with a hook.
Sandman Sims is the guy who comes, or not anymore, I believe he has passed away, but Sandman Sims would come out with a hook and pull you off the stage.
Literally with a hook and pull you off the stage.
Yes.
And that was an Apollo tradition, but, you know, and kind of a joke, not really, but it's like a talent show, so sometimes you hit and sometimes you didn't. But this horrible, nasty tone that's on social media in general now, you know, is pervasive. Nancy Lou could not be a more lovely person.
She's great, and her son Tuda is a great guy, too.
Jeez. We have to take a break.
Oh, we do? All right.
Thank God.
All right. A break, and then Dean will tell us about...
I did not know his first name.
Tuda Lou.
I only knew him as Nancy's son. I didn't know that was his first name.
Young Tuda Lou.
Okay.
All right. So Dean will tell us about what is so far his favorite movie of the year that's coming up in just a little bit. Dean Richards is our guest. Dean, you said on Steve Cochran Show about a week ago that so far this is your movie of the year. What is it?
It is the movie called Us. From director Jordan Peele, who gave us Get Out a couple of years ago. Fantastic horror movie that was also a statement on race in America. His latest movie is also a horror movie. It's kind of a horror movie, kind of a super suspenseful, nail-biter kind of movie. It's not really, you know, like Monsters or, you know, things like that. But
is it creepy? It looks so good.
It is very creepy. Yes, it is very creepy. It's very nail bitey, very white knuckly. Lots of shocks, lots of shocks and surprises along the way. Very Hitchcockian, because much of what is scary in this movie are things that you don't see, just things that you are anticipating happening. Jordan Peele has turned out to be an amazing director, a great manipulator of visual images and feelings and thoughts, along with a really smart story. This one is not necessarily focused on race in this movie, although it is an African-American family in the movie that stars Lupita Nyong'o. From 12 Years a Slave, for which she won an Oscar, and from Black Panther, and also from Black Panther, Winston Duke, who plays her husband. They've got two little kids, a boy and a girl. They decide to go to their summer home and enjoy some time off. It happens to be very nearby where the mom in this family was traumatized as a little girl in a house of horrors. And this traumatization comes back to haunt her while they're in the home. And this is all in the trailer, so I don't really feel like I'm doing any spoilers here. An exact duplicate of this family shows up in their driveway. Evil doppelgangers. And if you know anything about doppelgangers, you know, evil ones are the worst.
The worst of all doppelgangers.
That's why they're called evil.
Yeah.
Because they're not pleasant. They're not pleasant doppelganger. But this identical-looking family shows up, and they've got murder on their mind. And it's here's where I don't want to give too much away, because this movie is so dependent on things that play out in the film, and especially in the third act in this movie, the finale, where things are explained, things that you're watching in this movie are explained and happened. But it's a movie about this doppelganger family and other doppelgangers, which are popping up all over the world. Why they are doing that and why they want to eliminate their earthly identical families. It's a difficult movie to explain why all of it's happening without giving away some fantastic twists and turns. Such smart writing in this movie, clever writing, not only about this horror premise of these evil doppelgangers that show up, but in a bigger sense, a movie about us, U.S., as in the United States, mm-hmm. of the haves and have-nots, of the people who are the evil ones who show up, and the people who are dwelling on Earth as it is. So it's also a statement on the state of the world in which we live, and at the same time is delivering this unbelievably fantastically performed and especially written and directed story. I gave it a Dean's List A.
Can't wait to see it.
I think it's the best movie of the year so far. I think that if the Academy doesn't forget, and they certainly didn't with Get Out, they gave Jordan Peele an Oscar, that this one could also be up for Oscar consideration, especially Lupita Nyong'o, because the actors in this movie are all playing double roles.
Right.
They're playing the happy family that went away for to their summer home, and then they're also playing these horrific
evil doppelgangers.
Tethers. They're actually called tethers. People who are tethered to the earthly family.
Yeah.
So they play these double roles, and Lupita Nyong'o especially is.
She'll win two Oscars.
So great in this movie. As she should.
Actress and supporting actress for the same movie. That hardly ever happens.
That could be a first.
Yeah. All right. There's two other movies. We only have a minute, but The Highwaymen and Aftermath.
Yeah, Highwaymen is a Netflix movie that they're releasing into theaters before they release it online. It's Kevin Costner and Woody Harrelson. True story of the two Texas Rangers who hunted down Bonnie and Clyde. And it's an interesting story, history-wise. The movie itself is kind of flat and dry. It's not the greatest. Wound up giving it a Dean's List C. The other one is called The Aftermath with Keira Knightley, Alexander Skarsgård, and Jason Clarke. Story about a military family living in post-World War II Hamburg, Germany. Trying to get along with the people who they've just defeated in war, and yet relationships change into passion. It sounds like this movie could have a lot of potential for it to be a great romantic drama. It's not. It's actually very meandering and sort of all over the place. I was disappointed in it and gave it a Dean's List C-.
That is disappointing. Dean, thanks for all your news, movie news.
See you in St. Charles tomorrow.
Is it Dean's evil doppelganger that you'll see
Billy
in St. Charles?
Billy Joel is your evil doppelganger.
That is very true.
Yeah. Dean, thanks. Have a great weekend.
See you guys.
That's Dean Richards, everybody. We'll close things off in just a little bit. And then Wendy and I are headed toward the stream, and we would love to have you join us there. Coming up, all the stories that matter with Ryan Burrow from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.